Church.
Mr. Chairman,
good
members
work.
Of the committee.
Went very quickly.
Thank you. Thank you for your support.
Item number six, please.
From the Director, Department of Parks, Recreation, and Culture, submitting an informational report regarding a possible neighborhood improvement district for Cathedral Square Park and Juneau Park. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Kubrick?
Chairman, committee members, as you just heard, this item is informational only. The Parks Department has received a proposal from Easttown Association and the Juneau Park Friends. That proposal is requesting the lease of Cathedral Square Park and Juneau Park. The lease would be between Milwaukee County and a neighborhood improvement district yet to be created, but it has to be approved by the City of Milwaukee. Here to speak on this item is Kate Borders, the Executive Director of Easttown Association, Deb Tomchek from Reinhardt Berner, who is the author of the Neighborhood Improvement District legislation, as well as Lisa Hatch, the President of the Juneau Park Friends.
Would those folks please come forward? Borders, are you going to be the spokesperson?
I believe I am.
Leading off, at least. Please.
Well, I think Paul's going to lead them. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Good morning, Chair, Supervisors. How's everyone doing this morning?
Good.
All right. I think Paul probably laid out a little bit for you. I have been the Executive Director of the Easttown Association for 7 years now. And in that entire time period, we have had an excellent relationship with Sue Black and the County Parks. And I think everyone knows that we are the main utilizers of Cathedral Square Park. And in all of that time, we have had lots of discussions about how to potentially assist in the improvement of the park. We realize that we use it quite extensively, and it's a highlighted park in downtown Milwaukee. It's a great asset to this community. About a year ago, I was having conversations with Gary Grunow, who is a representative of Juneau Park Friends, and we realized that they were on a similar path, trying to figure out creative ways to help and assist in the improvements with Juneau Park. So we started talking about how we could work together. At the same time, legislation for a neighborhood improvement district was recently approved at the state level, and I don't know if you're familiar with neighborhood improvement districts, but they are similar to business improvement districts, only they also incorporate residential where there are 8 units or more. So it's not just commercial, it's also residential property that is included in the NID. We started looking at that vehicle as being a possible way to move forward with helping out these two parks that are combined, truly, you know, highlighted parks in downtown Milwaukee. And it's interesting how together one of them is a very relaxed green space that you wander through, that you enjoy, and one is and always has been a public gathering space, and it is to this day. So together I think they provide a nice balance for what we need in the downtown, and the green space is obviously really crucial. The brewery project is the first NID that was approved at the state level, and I think we're all familiar with the brewery project, and it is going very well. No opposition to that project at all. So we are in the very, very beginning stages of this process. It is a very open and transparent process. We're coming to you today, as Paul probably mentioned, for informational purposes only, to gather your feedback, see what your concerns are, and begin the process. If we get a general sense that you're in favor of seeing this through a little bit farther, then we would like to hold stakeholder meetings with people that would be the constituents in the neighborhood. We would then move forward with drafting an operating plan, how this NID would look. We would also finalize the boundaries of the NID, the Neighborhood Improvement District, hope to secure a lease of those two parks from your organization, and finalize budgets, which would dictate the assessments. And the entire process would be extremely public and transparent. So that's where we are at this point in time. We don't even have finalized designs. I know that there are a lot of questions about what the parks would look like. We have general ideas, and we have sent our designers back to the tables with some general ideas after meeting with some of you and some of the constituents. And so we will have those designs very shortly. And that also is part of, we want to hear your input on that as well. And basically, just get your thoughts and see what you think about this concept in general. And also with me, Lisa Hatch from Juneau Park Friends, who is the president, and Deb Tomchek, who is very familiar with the NID legislation.
this time, Tomchak, would you like to?
If I could just add again, my name is Debbie Tomchak, 1000 North Water Street. Just to add, in essence, just like a business improvement district, the neighborhood improvement district would be the coming together of the residential and commercial property owners that are affected, who will then tax themselves. They'll be levying an additional assessment on themselves that would then be used to fund capital improvements and ongoing maintenance for the parks. So we're, in essence, the business community, the residential community is trying to partner together, hoping that this process moves forward to provide a funding mechanism to provide some significant upgrades to the parks. That's the nub of what we're talking about. Thank you.
Ms. Hatch, anything you'd like to add?
Nope,
not at the moment. Questions by committee. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under an arrangement like this, the park still stays open to the public for public use?
Absolutely. And part of the process, which I've just kind of briefly laid out, is the fact that we would have to create an operating plan. And throughout this entire process, that operating plan would spell out exactly what the uses would be. And we would, of course, have some sort of a clause with our lease that the county gets to approve that operating plan, so that there would be no way that any of the intentions of the original forefathers of those parks would never be, you know, we would never ever cross that.
And not only is that adopted at the initial outset of the creation of the Neighborhood Improvement District, it's adopted every year thereafter. There's an annual operating plan that has to be approved. So it happens every year.
With your approval and Common Council's approval.
And I guess, does the Parks Department still maintain, you know, some control, for example, as far as, you know, events that maybe the Parks Department wouldn't normally feel were proper to have in a park? Would, you know, special events or things like that still both have to be approved by the Parks Department, or is the total control turned over to the group?
Chairman, supervisors, I think that's why it's so paramount when we enter into these contracts what that contract language is, and to somewhat even learn from other Parks Departments what language has worked in the past. And that is something that we would work through our office to make sure that that language was in there and very binding. Absolutely.
Thank you. Supervisor Jersey.
I had a similar question, and I think I'm going to try to ask it a little differently. I see that there is a clause that talks about exclusivity. And I guess the question I have is, when you do I'm familiar with a business improvement district, certainly. I assume a neighborhood improvement district, folks that are paying the assessment, if you will, are going to ask the question, what am I going to get out of this? And I do see an exclusivity clause. Is it the intent of the NID to give exclusivity to those parks? I understand it's going to be open to the public, but the NID will then get to say exactly what gets to happen in that park, or more importantly, what doesn't get to happen in that park.
I think that also goes back to the wording and how we would word it. I mean, obviously the operating plan is key to all of this, and as we've been talking to other individuals moving forward, that's been the main question, is what is this operating plan going to look like? And I think once we have that drafted, it'll answer a lot of questions, because it will lay out exactly what will happen in the parks and the approval process and how we will work together to get that approved. So we are not looking to do anything that would change what's happening in the parks right now. We really just want this to be a process that would help move the parks forward.
And do we know how long such a NID district would exist? I'd like to know the length of this.
Our initial concept would be to have a lease that would minimally just cover the time of any bonds that we would take out at the onset, so that the NID would exist for, you know, if we did a 30-year bond, that would be the initial starting point. But again, it would have to be approved annually.
Supervisor Dmitrievich, are you through? I'm sorry.
I guess the last question, there's a confidentiality clause, and obviously you're dealing with public elected officials here. I assume the confidentiality clause is strictly during the negotiating of a lease, but if you talk to me, I'm going to talk to everyone.
The confidentiality clause was put in place when we were originally discussing this just between the two groups to make sure that we could kind of get all of our ducks in a row before we went public with it. So at that point, it's null.
So we're public now.
We're public.
Supervisor Dmitrievich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I was just wondering, well, first I want to say
thank you for your commitment and wanting to invest so much in two of our parks, actually. But is there a way, and this maybe is for the director, that we could get to the same result but without losing a little bit of the public control? Like, what do you feel as a private entity or a neighborhood entity that's preventing you from just creating a partnership with the parks and directly donating that way than having to actually manage our parks? Like, what, like, I guess I feel like our parks department is doing a wonderful job managing the park as it is. I guess I don't understand why the both things can't exist that way. Is that a clear question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Sure, go ahead. Well, I get that one. First of all, with regard to, maybe I'm backtrack just a second, the property owners who are going to be subject to assessments are going to be making a significant seven-figure capital outlay in each project, in each park. And to the question about how long the term would be, we anticipate we're going to have to get financing to be able to do that. So if we finance that, we're looking at a number of avenues to do that, but we'll have a term associated with the loan that extends. So we need to be sure that our term is able to repay those bonds or whatever financing mechanism we would use. So given that we're asking these folks to make significant, substantial capital contributions, they're going to want to know that they have an ability to look forward and make sure that the parks are maintained and improved and managed. And I think they've been wonderful net so far, but we want to see an upgrade in that. And I think the property owners who are paying those bills are going to want to continue to make sure that happens going forward. So it's more a matter of upgrading.
Director Black.
Yeah, Chairman, Supervisors, my answer to that would be, I think that's one of the parts that we haven't hit on. It's the main thing is that we want to do something with the infrastructure of those parks. And we've been talking about it for as long as I've been here. And even at Juneau, after the FEMA and the floods, you know, we're losing that bluff. Right now at Juneau, there's no way, I call it Billy Goat Hill, there's no way to get from Juneau down to the lakefront, so everybody's on that hill there. And some of the other frustrations, I would say, with the neighbors of the capital money that hasn't gone into those two properties. So I think, at least in my mind, I see it less about operating the park as that the neighborhoods are saying, let us tax ourselves in order to put those capital improvements into the parks because of the issues going on with the county that we don't have the cash to put into them. So I see it more that they want to raise that capital money and then to come back and say, this is what we would do with it. And again, there have been so many different ideas with Cathedral that have come forward even in the last how many years of what are we going to do with that property. So, like I said, not to repeat myself, but I think it's more about the capital than it is the operating, or at least that's how, as the director, I'm looking at it.
Thank you. And I appreciate that. And actually, I would kind of, in a way, almost equate this, I think what you're talking about, Director Black, to the massive neighborhood involvement in seven-figure investment in Hoyt Park. Now, the difference is that Milwaukee County still, through a lease, maintains, you know, ownership, of course, of the park, and then has a relationship on the pool when we're talking about infrastructure. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say, and I know I'm going to be open-minded. This is a little bit new for this committee. What I would like people to think about, and for my colleagues and for those listening, is we have to remember that our park system, which is a wonderful resource and treasure that we have, operates on a comprehensive, holistic approach, which means the truth is, the money made in my part of the area at the South Shore Pavilion or the money made from leasing for the Jazz in the Park agreement goes to help parks in other parts of the city that don't have the luxury of taxing themselves to boost revenue for infrastructure improvements. So a near inner city north side park or one that's less used on the south side needs to also work off of that revenue. And while it may not be as glitzy and exciting, that's important to, I think, future generations all around the county, and that's why our system has been built this way. So I think it's important that we be good stewards of trying to help the entire system, because what the last thing I'd like to see is, at the end of the day, there's just a few good parks left, the ones that have been, you know, benefited by this fundraising. That doesn't mean that I want to say no to it. I just please would ask everybody to think about the parks that are less popular, maybe don't live in such a wealthy, that are not in such a wealthy residential area, and it is important that part of the money made in Jazz in the Park goes to offset the cost to improve that playground as well. So I think that's a concern that I have. I'll be willing, of course, to get more information, but I really wanted to be clear about that concern, and maybe there's something we can do to find ourselves in the middle. I definitely don't want to say no to the extremely generous support, but please think about, you know, us in this seat and how we have to think of the entire system as well, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you please elaborate a little bit, looking through what you provide here, the NID board primarily composed of property owners who they can then appoint two sub-boards, one to manage Cathedral Square Park and a second to manage Juneau Park. Do these boards make any provision to allow folks that rent or folks that live nearby, or is this going to be run entirely by the property owners?
The function of the board is going to be set by state statute. So we have the state statutory requirements that we have to work within. They have to be representatives of the property owners. Hmm. So that's set by state statute.
Thank you.
By inference, would it be assumed that renters are also contributing,
yes,
whether knowingly or not?
The renters certainly we'd want to be beneficiaries of that park too.
Sure.
The renter could also be the designee of an owner potentially. So there is an opportunity, depending on what the final bid board through the operating agreement looks like, to have various involvement. All of the meetings of the NID, they're a quasi-governmental body, will be open. So everyone can be involved in attending the meetings and being aware of what's going on with the NID in any event, whether they're on the board or not.
Lisa
Hatch.
By committee?
Oh, sorry.
Supervisor Haas.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Ma'am, did you have a question or a statement?
Well, I just wanted to say as well, as far as Juneau Park Friends, a lot of our members are renters in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And by being a member of our organization, our board hears their voices and always take that into consideration. So I think whether you see they're supporting it financially by a transference of their rent eventually trickles that way, but I can assure you that their voices are always heard and taken into consideration. I'd also like to just briefly support what Sue Black said and say that there is no glitz in Juneau Park, and we don't ever intend that there be any glitz. We are facing massive destruction of the bluff. It's literally being washed down to Lincoln Memorial Drive, and there's nothing that can be done about it unless you have a lot of money. And if you drive along in Lincoln Memorial Drive or use the bike path right now, you will see the huge piles of mud that are being held back by an environmental fence at this point because they wash over the bike path every time it rains. You could park several school buses in the ravines, mm-hmm, that are all caused by runoff. And so what Juneau Park Friends sees is a restoration of the park, not just to have new sidewalks or maybe a few more flowers that disappeared with the money several years ago. But we really need to stabilize that bluff, or there's going to be no front yard to the city of Milwaukee. And this is the park that looks out. We're just north, if you can picture it. We're just north of the O'Donnell Park. We look out at all of the museums. And we look out now at the fairly new Veterans Park. And we have lots of people in our park who come in from the city, all parts of the city. They watch the fireworks from Juneau Park, and they want to know how to get down that hill safely to get out to Veterans Park, what we all, the rest of us, call the Kite Flying Park. We are not looking for glitz. We're trying to stabilize our park. It doesn't make any sense for us to plant flower beds, no sense to make new sidewalks if all of that's going to slide right down the bluff in the next couple years. And believe me, it's in dire straits.
Any further questions by the committee? If not, we have one other person who wanted to be heard from, Mr. Charlie Camps. Thank you very much. Today's exciting prospect.
Thank you.
Mr. Camps. Mr. Camps put a note on the card that he would be brief.
Yes. we're Charlie Camps from Preserve Our Parks. We're pretty excited about anything that provides more funding for the parks. In fact, when one of our members, Lori Albano, heard about this, she said, why don't we have a neighborhood improvement district for all our county parks? Something to think about. We met representatives of Preserve Our Parks, and the park people met Saturday morning with Gary Gruno, who seems to be one of the leaders of this effort. And he apparently was exempted from the confidentiality secrecy clause. Some of our members are members of Friends of Juneau Park, and we're quite disturbed that the letter of intent was executed without their knowledge. But from here on, I welcome the opportunity to have this be free and open and completely transparent. And Gary Gruno assured us that we would have a place at the table as things move forward. We have concerns, and we express these concerns. You've mentioned some of these. As presently proposed, the neighborhood improvement district only represents property owners. Obviously now, the county management of the parks is responsible to the representatives of the entire county, citizens of the entire county. And that's as it should be, because someone who lives in Franklin or Bayview or Wauwatosa may want to use the park during his lunch hour, or may want to come down for jazz in the park, may want more porta potties, fewer porta potties, and so on. And the county, I mean, there's a lot to be said for management by elected officials. And that's what we want to make sure that's preserved here. Now, of course, if you want to be reelected, you have to be responsible. The NID people, the neighborhood improvement people, aren't going to ever stand for election by the general public. That's something that could be a problem. We're going to try to work on appropriate language to make sure the county still has control. Both parks are subject to deed restrictions, which have been very important through the years. The deed restrictions require the county to operate and maintain the parks. Now, the county has in the past entered into lease agreements. Dennis Brzezinski, who works for the does a lot of work for the Urban Ecology Center, was at our meeting with Gary Gruno on Saturday. And Riverside Park, for instance, the Urban Ecology Center has a lease for the western part of Riverside Park, but it's a non-exclusive lease. That's a new creature. It doesn't bar the public from using that at all. That's not the type of lease that you take to the bank. If you have a long-term lease of a valuable property, you can go borrow money on it, because the bank knows that if you go belly up, they can come on in and get repaid from the revenue from the leasehold. One very disturbing thing at our meeting with Mr. Gruno on Saturday is his explaining to us that the NID needs leases coextensive with the duration of the bond issue. Now, I have trouble getting my arms around that concept, because I don't think the lender can come on in and take over a public park. So we've got to figure out some way to work around that, and I hope that we'll be able to work with Ms. Tomczak on that. Maybe we need a change in state law. But those are the type of things that concern us. We have to be consistent with the deed restrictions. We have to maintain county control. We have to the people from out in the county who don't live in this district have to know that their voices can still be heard. So that's what we hope to be able to work this out. We like the idea of the money.
Questions of Mr. Cancer by Committee Supervisor Jersey.
Well, I appreciate your perspective on this, and you're reflecting some of my own concerns. I have not been a big proponent of separate parks districts, for example. And one of the reasons is because you've got the full faith and credit of Milwaukee County when you do bonding. And I think we need to review this carefully, this whole issue of this NID district doing bonding, because I can't for the life of me seeing a bank or anyone else who might want to do a bond not requiring the county to sign off on that bond. And you make good points, and I think these are the kind of legal issues that we're going to have to look at. But, you know, the full faith and credit of Milwaukee County certainly can perhaps support something like this, but it also has to be available to the public, not just for the exclusive use of one group. I mean, if we're going to start talking about that kind of thing, we're going to get down to gated communities, which I would strongly oppose. And of course, the 30-year a 30-year agreement tends to be a leasehold that's similar to a conveyance of property. So you know, those are very good legal issues that are going to have to be carefully explored. Thank you.
Well, according to Mr. Gruno, the 1 year is a special assessment. Would generate a levy, a tax levy of $420,000. So, in 3 years, you have a pretty substantial sum of money, and I don't know why you need a bond issue to borrow a huge amount of money. I should say that Preserve Our Parks got started in 1999 when the deed restrictions were threatened. And so that's our Bible. Those deed restrictions are what, that's our mission, to preserve those.
Thank you, Mr. Camps. I would just add that I expected to hear the unintended consequence of this possibility being a two-tiered park system. And I think, you know, I understand I think the attitudes of all involved and the goodwill involved here and the want, as Mr. Camps phrased it, to figure our way through this. As long as we're able to do that, well and good. But I think we do have to be conscious of and guard against some areas of the city having elevated recreational facilities while others suffer. And I know that was alluded to earlier. It's something that hopefully we can deal with in developing the language of this lease. Supervisor Haas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to request a report from the staff of Mr. Boltman, and I would like to refer this item to the corporate counsel.
I think that's probably a wise course of action. Rather than do it later, do it beforehand and have them do the necessary analysis. The motion is to refer to corp counsel with a report back from staff. Any further discussion of that item? If not, please call a roll.
Haas.
Aye.
Cesaris.
Aye.
Dmitrievich.
Aye.
Jersey.
Aye.
Zanfilippo.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
7-9-0. No, this item will be referred to corporation counsel with report back to staff.
Thank you all very much on item number 6. It's exciting stuff.